You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Today, you are listening to a coaching episode. In these episodes, you get a little peek into what is normally a private space, my one-on-one coaching practice. This really gives you a glimpse into what it's like to be guided and held by me, and will hopefully leave you with some key aha moments. Everyone who is coached here in these episodes has consented to publicizing these sessions and remains anonymous for the sake of confidentiality.
What feels most alive for me right now is, the desire to call in a soulmate, a life partner, divine union, and feeling like I'm in a place in my journey where I'm really clear on what I desire and feel like I've done a lot of work to get to this place. And also feel like more recently I've done a lot of releasing and creating space for what I really want. So in that sense, not settling or like being willing to say no to relationships that aren't the full picture of what I'm desiring. And so, I'm feeling like I want support in navigating this period. I feel like I go back and forth between like being in a full place of trust and surrender and really knowing that it's happening in the perfect timing and that it is all unfolding how it's supposed to. And then I also find other times where I'm like on dating apps and like searching for it and feeling like there's this energy of like trying or maybe like not as much trust, I guess. So I feel like that's the space that I'm in. I feel like that's part one. And part two is then also navigating like the masculine feminine polarity in the space of dating and in like the initial phases of dating.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I'm curious if you're open to starting in a place where you clarify for me and perhaps for yourself in the field that we're working with, what that vision is of the union you would like to call in.
I want to be with a partner in a partnership that feels expansive and where I feel inspired by my partner and how they show up in the world. I want to feel chosen and supported and seen and heard and held and all of those experiences in our connection. I know that I also would love to be with a partner who values health and who is on their own path of awakening or their own path of growth. They value personal growth. They value, you know, their own evolution. And I want our love to like not only inspire one another, but also inspire the people around us and our community and like, have it be something that ripples out beyond us as well.
That's such a delicious vision. So good. What I love about it is that you really covered the piece of how you want to feel in the relationship and then values that you want them to have. And then also how the union then has an impact and ripple effect on the world, the community around you. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a cool categorization of all, all the different pieces. So I love that so much. And I'm curious what right now feels like the main gap you're finding yourself in your experiences in dating and previous relationships. Where are you feeling unmet with regards to this vision? Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest piece is meeting someone who is showing up in the world, like who's done their work and who's showing up in the world powerfully. And that doesn't mean perfectly or that they're at a certain, you know, destination, or I don't feel like I have an unrealistic viewpoint of what that means. Mm. I feel like some of the men that I'm meeting don't feel stimulated mentally or like I don't feel expanded by. And then I also live in a small town, and I wouldn't say that I have a belief that like it's not possible here, because I know that it is. I would just say that like I don't actually feel physically attracted to like the majority of people here, like I don't have to meet this person here in the town that I'm in.
Right.
It definitely feels like the person that I'm normally attracted to, or the kind of, yeah, what I envision and what I'm normally attracted to is not necessarily here. And I've been working on, okay, can I expand that? Can I release like the idea of what this person looks like or what I'm normally attracted to? And can I stay open, to a different possibility? So I think it's feels a little bit location based and what I've been experiencing since I've lived here, which has been almost a year. And also, yeah, the other piece around like where this person gets to be developmentally, because I've done a lot of my own inner work and I'm going to continue doing my inner work. And like, I want a partner who can meet me in that in their own way.
So what I'm really hearing is there's a bit of occasional scarcity energy that you're battling with here, right? Like the idea that like, oh, small town, not the type of partner here, not sure what my possibilities are. Like there's some of that creeping into you, on the other hand, trying to, you know, surrender into trust that it all will happen at the right time, in the right place, with the right person. Mm-hmm. And so what to you, like now that we've looked at the vision, we've looked at some of the places you don't feel met with the current and previous interactions, you're a very wise woman, what in your intuitive sense is the biggest energetic block here, if you had to guess? Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, there's a part of me that wants to just like not, it's not about not putting effort, but like where I want to like cast the vision and hold space for what I'm manifesting and like live my life. And at the same time, I know there's another part of me that gets to take like inspired action towards it. Mm. I don't know what I'm trying to think of what like the block that feels. I'm trying to articulate it. Like mm-hmm. there's something here, but I don't know that I can articulate it. I'm trying to feel into it.
We can also pull at the threads and see, you know, that's always the fun part here is like we get to pull one thread and see, nope, that's not it. And we pull another one. Oh, there it is. Uh-huh. Right. And so There's something here that I heard around, you know, there was inspired action, but then also like leaning back and letting it come to you. And so I hear again the theme of masculine, feminine energies here too, just mm-hmm. not within necessarily the dating realm, but literally inside of you. So mm-hmm. now we're talking about the inner union. And this, it sounded like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounded like there's a little bit of a push and pull between, do I be more active, right? You said inspired action. It's the very dynamic masculine in all of us, or do I be more receptive? Do I be more surrendered? And that is the static feminine in all of us. And so mm-hmm. they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? If we're looking at the both static and dynamic expression of each of these energies, you've got these two that you've particularly spoken to are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so there's this like inner tug of war, so to speak, between, oh, do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Does that feel true to your experience?
I think what feels true is like, for me, I think this feels like kind of silly, but I go back and forth within myself of like, I think what it comes down to is like, am I on, like, do I want to be on dating apps or not? I think mm-hmm. that's mostly what it comes down to is like, do I want to put energy into that? And is that considered inspired action? Or is that like an attachment or feeling like kind of like similar to social media, right? Where it's like, yeah. I'm there's like maybe the validation piece or like the feels like I'm doing something, but I'm not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I guess the biggest piece is like, do I want to be investing energy there? Mm-hmm. And if I'm not doing that, like, am I quote unquote doing enough? Or like, am I missing out on opportunities that like, seeing dating apps as a way to potentially meet people that I maybe haven't met yet in person, you know, like opening opportunities.
Yeah. Well, let's check in. Is it inspiring to you to be on the apps?
Like, it doesn't feel like a no for me. I guess that's like what I've gotten to so far. It doesn't feel like a full no for me, but I feel like.
But does it inspire you?
No.
Well, when you look at other decisions you make in life, right? It could be a business strategy. It could be, I'm going to invest in this coach or this retreat. How do you usually make a decision? Is it, oh, well, it's not a no?
No, I make a decision based on whether it feels like a yes or expansion or feels like it's pulling me forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I would really cut and paste that experience and that mechanism of how you decide on things into here as well. You know, there's mm-hmm. this thing that happens where whatever place in our life, we tend to have little threads of like scarcity contraction energy. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's more in my purpose and business and impact, right? For other people, it might be in the relationship realm. That's always the place where we tend to not fully listen to our intuition, right? Where we will do things differently than we do in every other area of our life. Like, oh, it's okay. I can do the thing where I post on Instagram, even though it's okay. It's not mm-hmm. a no. Right. And so I wonder if that frame can be supportive, where you are taking the way that you handle decision-making in other areas and go, okay, what if I did the same here? It's not that you cannot evoke the dynamic masculine in you. It's not that you cannot take inspired action or should not take inspired action. The question is the action you're taking actually inspired?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like a fuck yeah, like, ooh, this lights me up, this juices me up. Ooh, yeah, swipe left, swipe right. I don't know. I think for some people, sometimes it does.
Yeah, no, I would say that it doesn't light me up.
Yeah. And what if we took that energy and that time and took that action energy and shifted it somewhere else to something that does feel inspiring around romantic relationship? It may not be a direct path, like, oh, look, I just set up a date with someone, which feels very, again, it's very masculine because it's like, oh, something, I've produced a result. Mm-hmm. I'm going on a date with this person. But like you said, sometimes it's a lot of busy work. It's a lot of texting and da-da-da, and then getting on the date and then being like, oh, I'm not really, what is it? I don't know. I mean, he's all right, you know. Like, mm-hmm. there can be a lot of that, which then fills the space. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's the thing that feels exciting to you. But the question is there actually maybe use of that energy, even if it goes inward to more feminine practices, towards more visualizations, towards, you know, other things that are about working on yourself? Like, it may not be a relational thing per se. And maybe it is, right? Like, maybe it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to make sure once a week I go to an in-person social event, or like, there's many different ways to go about it, but taking that inspired action energy and actually moving it to and directing it to somewhere that feels more inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels true.
Yeah. There was another piece that I tried to bookmark and then it escaped me, but I trust it will come back when mm-hmm. it needs to. I'm curious, talk to me, just so we get an even bigger perspective, like, talk to me a little bit about what you were sharing about also navigating the polarity and just like masculine, feminine dynamics and energetics in dating, because that was the other piece you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like sometimes there's like this template, like it's almost like the more that you know, like it kind of fucks you up a little bit. I don't know if I can swear on here, but
oh, 100%. Are you kidding?
Okay. I feel like sometimes the more that you know, it kind of fucks you up a little bit, you know, like similar in business, like you learn all these things and you're like, I need to do it this way. But then there's like this unlearning that gets to be done. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, how do I just be myself and not do this whole masculine feminine dance all the time? Or like, be like, oh, I shouldn't ask that because it's not super feminine. Or like, I should wait for him to do this thing. Or like, yeah, if I don't want it to feel like a game or to feel like I'm not being myself, but I also like understand very deeply like the principles of masculine and feminine relating. And I know that they're important and I know that they work well. So I guess I'm trying to like figure out, how do I be my authentic self and like honor what's true for me without, you know, doing either like the pseudo control thing, like, yeah, like being in my masculine versus like staying in my feminine, I guess.
Mm. Can you give, like, is there like a recent example of something that happened where you were internally battling? Like, do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? How do I do it?
Yeah, sure. So, I've been connecting with someone who actually like, quote unquote, randomly dropped into my DMs. And I had been doing some like visualizations around this soulmate that I'm calling in and really connecting to my heart space. And then this person pops in, which I'm not attaching that means it's them, but we were chatting and like the conversation was super interesting and I felt really inspired to connect further. And so then I'm like, okay, do I wait for him to ask if I want to like get on a call, or like, can I mention, like, I'm curious to get to know you more, and like without setting like, hey, let's have a call at this date and this time, like really navigating that where it's like inviting deeper connection, but not being the one who's taking the lead. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how much do I lean back in that and just like wait and let this person be like, hey, I'd really love to set up a call with you or whatever. Yeah. And how much do I lean in and like share what my desires are?
Yeah. Yeah. So great. I love working with specific examples, and that really solidifies things. So here's the thing about masculine, feminine polarity, blah, 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 right? It's so useful. And putting people into just two ends of a spectrum, like you're either this or you're that, and this is a prescribed way in which you should act in order to evoke magnetism, is so oversimplified, right? Because we're not just two types of people. We have, we're a spectrum of unique beings. We all have different ratios of masculine, feminine. And even within that, the static and dynamic expression of each of those energies is going to be very different for each person, and also at different chapters of our lives. Right? Like last week, I was uber masculine. I had to move. It had to happen. There was no other option. That was my priority. My priority was not evoking polarity in my relationship. It was like, get the job done. Mm-hmm. So as I'm still a woman and I deeply identify as a feminine creature with primarily feminine desires in romantic relationship, and yet in life, there's times where I have to just get some shit done. Mm-hmm. And so I think the oversimplification can sometimes feel a bit like an imprisonment. And I know that that's part of what you're saying is you're navigating, okay, how much do I use these teachings? How much do I not? Like what? And I think the simple way to get out of our heads around the battle between do I do it, do I not, is to check in with the question of what would feel the best for me? Mm-hmm. Right, which is going to be different than what would feel the best for your girlfriend or me or someone else in our, you know, group of women that we know. What is going to feel best for me? And when you answer the question, to really be with the ache in your heart. Like if I could have it any possible way that I wanted, what would it look like? This specific text interaction? Mm-hmm. Would it be me just being able to have the freedom to say, hey, let's hop on the phone? Would it be, oh, I'm able to just without fear say, oh, I would just love to connect with you and hear your voice and get a chance to like go a little deeper, and then have him go, oh, great, I'd love that too. Let's do a phone call. How about next Tuesday at this time? Mm-hmm. Like, would that feel better? Or is there another scenario that would feel better? And so moving away from the it's right or wrong or prescribed as feminine and masculine, and actually just checking in with what feels best for me. Mm-hmm. And the place where people get caught up is and get confused is when they then let the old habitual patterns take over in the answer. And that's where you have to really check in with the longing of your heart. Because some of us might be like, oh yeah, yeah, I just want to be able to say, yeah, 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 can I call you? Or can we talk soon? Which is a bit more of a quote unquote masculine approach. But does that really feel better? Or is that just what you're used to doing? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the distinction that we can, like, if we aren't aware of it, can get us into trouble in the sense that it keeps us in our old habitual way, which feels comfortable, which we think is of what we want, but actually there's this deep feminine ache underneath it of like, oh, I wish I could just speak the truth of my heart, which is I'd love to connect deeper. And then him respond instantly with, I would love that too. Let's hop on the phone on this day at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, ultimately that's what feels best for me, I would say, is to like share my desire for deeper connection and create space for him to lean in and take the lead.
Mm-hmm. Great. So there's mm-hmm. clarity on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then where does it feel like ooh, crunchy or cringy for you?
Well, I think in this situation, like I did share like a desire to connect deeper. And then the response was like, yes, I would absolutely love that. Like I'm on board. Like, and yet there wasn't like the, okay, like let's hop on a call or yeah, there wasn't like that next step of him saying, okay, this place, this time-ish type thing. Mm-hmm. He like, it was very clear that he's interested in connecting further.
Yeah.
And that feels really genuine. And then I think the piece around like when he agrees, like if like what I would want to say is like, okay, great. I'd love for you to take the lead on that. But like, I would just want him to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it just feels, I don't know why it feels so complicated. I'm like, this is just feels so, it just does. It feels awkward and complicated. I'm like, I don't want to overthink this. I just want to be me. And yeah, it feels like it's complicated.
Mm. Well, the feeling like it's me, I imagine is, you know, there's, of course, like a deep longing to just, I just want it to be easy to be me. But if we zoom out of romantic relationship for a second, is it really easy for us to be ourselves in the world right now?
Not really.
I mean, literally our work is based on getting people back to remembering and experiencing and expressing who they truly are after years and years of conditioning and programming and belief systems and et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we do in the coaching world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and none of that process is easy. It's actually the hardest work to go, wait, how can I be me in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to romantic relational activities as well, right? It's like in that space, it's going to feel, the longing is true. I just want to be me. And you will get there and you will have moments of it. But actually the entire process is one of going, oh, okay, I have to actively work on finding what my truth in relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels exhausting because it is, but we are again, we're unraveling those layers and it does get easier over time. And so in this moment where you're like, okay, wait, what do? My natural instinct is to go, okay, great. How about next Tuesday? And then you're like, wait, hold on. You hear the little voice of maybe a previous coach or an Instagram account or like some teacher you follow that does polarity work. Who's like, no, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you're like, oh fuck. Like, who am I? What is this? What's true? I don't even know. Right.
This is basically me in the last 24 hours. I'm like, I just want to be myself. Oh shit. No, I shouldn't do that. No. I'm doing it wrong. And then like, I think I came to the conclusion just like in this, I was like, so like, you can't fuck it up. Like you can't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there is definitely no way to, I think that the pressure we put on ourselves in the development personal development world is so much like, oh my God, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, I have to do it better. And that can just be so harsh on us. And what's really helpful is to lean back and go, okay, but what do I want? What am I in devotion to? What is it that is going to support me in being in devotion to the thing I've decided I'm in devotion to? And if you're in devotion to finding out who you truly are in romantic relationship and in deep intimacy, part of that is going to be the process of discerning the moments where you respond and it feels organic and natural because it's habitual, versus carving a new way that initially feels uncomfortable, but is actually more you. It's just that you didn't practice that most of your life. And so it doesn't feel like you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because perhaps you had a life like many of us, or had moments in life where you had to actively take control, where you had to actively lead, where you had to actively organize because no one else was doing it, right? So you got used to getting up and handling it. And so it feels natural to you, but it's not what makes you happiest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so in these moments, and I want to go right back to the granular detail of this text message exchange, and how we can take these big concepts and bring them into the minute and the like day to day. When he says, yes, I'm interested in going deeper. And then you're like, okay, motherfucker, but like, when are you going to set a time? You know, and you're sitting there squirming in your seat, like, look, when is it going to happen? Right? That moment when you feel the discomfort is the moment you check in and go, okay, is this discomfort serving me? Because it's actually building and etching in a new pattern in my body and in my nervous system? Or is it just feeling funky and crunchy because it truly is out of alignment to who I am? And who I am is, I just want to be able to go, all right, let's do next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if you're in devotion of shifting something into like in yourself into more of like a surrendered feminine, then you would sit in the discomfort longer. Mm. And that's the work. That's the spiritual practice right there, is to go, okay, well, he's going to figure it out. He's going to, at some point after days of no talking, is going to come back and set a date. Right. And in the meantime, it's like you're twitching, right? Like, ah. And of course, you're like, oh, he's never going to talk to me again. It's all over. And sometimes that does happen. Right. And we know that as people when we're dating, like, yeah, some people just disappear and it's like, okay. And it sucks in the moment. But also, we always look back and go, oh, yeah, like, that was not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ultimately are in devotion to what? To the vision you outlined for us at the very beginning. And that vision included feeling held, feeling led. Okay, great. So if that's what you're in devotion to, then what is the right quote unquote thing to do? And am I right? I mean, not right based on what the world thinks, right for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to support you? What's going to be most loving and devoted to your vision? It's going to be holding out for the person who is going to lead. And sometimes, because these days life is so confusing for men, poor guys, they're like, I don't know. Do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Some of them know about polarity stuff. Some of them don't. Some of them are like, my mom was a feminist and so I'm just going to let her lead, you know, like,
yeah, like, I mean,
so confusing for them, those poor guys.
I've had a couple of men who like specifically err more on the side of not wanting to make a woman uncomfortable. And it's actually coming from a place of like hey, it's not that they don't want to take the lead. It's that there's all this programming around, not just programming, but women's experiences that they've shared is like, they don't want to, they're erring on the side of caution of not like moving too quickly or not wanting to make a woman uncomfortable by suggesting X, Y, and Z. Like I've directly heard that from men.
And we can empathize with that experience and the confusing mixed messages that they've gotten. And the fact that there are different preferences right now. We're in an interesting phase, and maybe it's not a phase, maybe it'll stay this way forever, but like where it's just, there's different viewpoints on how to do it. And so we can come with compassion and empathy towards their experience and still be just honest about, well, this is what I need. Forget about what the world taught you or the general like teachings about men and women and equality versus polarity and whatever. It's like, this is what feels good to me. And then you find the person who's like, oh, great, that feels good to me too. Right. And in the process of searching, you find a lot of people who are like, oh no, that doesn't feel good to me. And sometimes those people are poor communicators and just disappear. And sometimes they're good and they share that. But often, you know, the masculine tends to not communicate so well. Right. That's just sort of how it is. But if a man's got a lot of feminine, they're probably able to communicate a bit better. Let me just check in. We went to like a few different places and pulling it back to the text message. I think for, and specific to you, I think that what I would invite you into is being in these moments and actually embracing these moments of discomfort and that space, that lull in between, as your practice, where you go, okay, there's two pieces. There's a mindset piece, the embodiment piece. Mindset. What is actually my truth here? What would I want to happen? What would feel supportive to me? What's true to me? And then once you get clear on that and you're in devotion to that, okay, great. Now, from an embodiment standpoint, how do I be with myself in the hours that tick in the space in between while I'm waiting for this person to show up or to show me that they're not showing up? How do I take care of myself? Instead of go right into the the habitual, okay, let me just handle it and like keep the conversation going. It's very similar to, you know, if we cut and paste the experience of when we are first learning, the first few years, I find when we are coaching, as coaches, we at the very beginning, I don't know if this is an experience you had, but I've heard this from a lot of different coaches. Like, we have a hard time being with the quiet, that quiet space, you know, or sometimes it's like, okay, just keep talking, keep saying things, like, because we're so used to normal conversation where there isn't a long stretch of silence. And then over time, I know for me, my capacity to be with silence grew and grew and grew. And sometimes now when there's a particular question that I ask a client, there could be a full minute of silence while they sit with it, while it lands. And there isn't this need to fill the space. And it's sort of the same when we're interacting in the dating world. It's like, am I jumping to fill the space, or can I actually lean back and give them an opportunity to eventually fill the space?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I like those two pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, so we address the working with the communication and the desire when you're already in the beginnings of, you know, a conversation, getting to know each other. And I'm curious if there's anything else that would feel supportive around the zoomed out perspective, right? The part that's, hey, I'm looking for my person. I want my person. Because I feel like there's a piece there still that we haven't fully gotten to.
I mean, I think I have clarity around it, but also I think it'd be helpful to talk through is like, okay, committing to myself to not be on any dating apps for like a couple of months and seeing how that feels. And at the same time, in not being on dating apps, then like being clear on how I want to devote my time to this vision of mine and how I want to devote my energy to this vision without it being that approach. And so I definitely have a few things in mind, but I'd love to talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. That feels like the other missing piece for us to really like complete the full picture. Let's start with what are some ideas that come up for you? Cause you said you had some.
Mm-hmm. I mean, something that I've been doing lately is doing some more visualizations and tapping more into like the quantum field that this person already exists and really being in my heart space and being connected to what I desire and what I'm calling in, and also like communicating energetically that I'm ready and that, you know, I'm ready for my partner to come in. So it feels like some of it is like visualization and energetic, but obviously there's only so much of that you're going to do. You're not going to do that all day. And then, yeah, I think the other piece is, you know, how can I, the time outside of when I'm doing like my self-care practices and outside of when I'm working and spending time with friends, like what does that actually look like to be devoted to this vision and how can I be putting energy towards it? And I mean, obviously there's so many different things that I could do. I just don't know what would feel like most inspiring and what would feel best right now, because I am going to community events. I'm going to, you know, weekly things where I'm not just sitting at home and not meeting people. I'm definitely out and doing things. So I don't feel like there's a lack of, I guess, external things that I'm doing. I think it's more about the internal space and like spending time with myself and doing more internal work around it is mm-hmm. what I'm feeling, but in like a way that feels fun and not like I'm doing manifesting work, you know, like I'm cool to visualize, you know, for a little bit each day, but I don't want it to feel like I'm writing a million affirmations and I'm scripting about my future partner all the time. Like that doesn't feel like it lights me up right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be real with you. So here's the deal. My personal perspective on a lot of manifesting and visualization techniques is that they're missing a component. And that is the component of the dynamic feminine. This is embodied expression, the emotional body, feeling what it is you are deeply feeling in the moment? What is the desire? Not what is like, oh, I'd like an infinity pool and I'd like him to work this job and I would like us to have a dog together, right? Like, not the logical things that we tend to go into. I remember that. I don't know. I even remember the book, but there's like some book, I think Calling in the One or something like that, that I remember doing like years and years ago. And it was just like a lot of beautiful exercises. And I'm sure it helped a little. But in some of those exercises, it was my mind that was still like, oh, okay. So there was just like descriptive things that I would write out that my ego thought were a thing that I cared about. Actually, It didn't matter. It ultimately didn't matter. But what is so important and what always is missing for so many people when they're doing the manifesting and affirming and visualizing is feeling it, feeling what they're actually talking about. And so that can go two ways. There's the more like, I would say, classical tantric way, which is to feel the deep ache and longing. And have a practice around that. Forget about, you know, all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually express through your body, non-verbally, the deep longing for wanting to be seen, held, claimed, to be in a union that has an impact on the world. But really, it's the feeling stuff. We don't want to get too conceptual. Mm-hmm. It's, I ache to be held. I ache to be claimed. I ache to be ravished. I ache to be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And like be in that, right? Because that is a strong, potent energy that magnetizes opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because it's your truth. It will also feel, even though it's achy because it's longing, it actually feels pleasurable. When you fully express the ache, it's actually a pleasure. When you fully express the grief, it's actually pleasure. Mm-hmm. Because it's truth. And so it feels really good. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's one piece, I would say, embodiment wise, that's really the big one that came up for me, for you. And then, you know, there's also the, I guess, a little bit more classic manifesting way, which is to be in the energy of, oh, let me feel what it's like to be in the body of the woman who's already in this union. Mm-hmm. Right. But that, I don't know. I have a harder time with that one personally, but some people might connect to that more, is to be like, it's already happened. I'm already in the energy of it's happened. But I find that if you do that second one without doing the first one as well, you're overriding the truth of the moment, which is, oh, actually my truth is I'm in ache. I'm in longing. I'm in deep desire. That why is this not here for me? I want it so bad. And to just be in the like wide vastness of that, as opposed to, well, okay. You know, often what we do is like, oh, why is it not here? It must be my fault. And then we go into action. Or why is this not here? Oh, God hates me. And then we go into fighting with God. Why is it not here? Oh, I must be getting punished for something I did in a previous lifetime, right? Like we start to come up with thoughts as to why it's happening. And that takes you out of it. You got to just be in the ache, no thoughts connected to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That feels like a piece that I can add in that I haven't been doing yet or exploring. I wouldn't say doing, but exploring.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be a one, you know, how much I love those one song practices, mm-hmm. because it just feels not too intense. It doesn't feel overwhelming. And but it's consistent because you taste it every so often. And sometimes that means, you know, at the very beginning, you need a longer session to get into it, to mm-hmm. really feel it and remember it and go, oh, here it is. I've located it in the pit of my stomach, or, oh, it feels like right there in my chest, or actually my longing is in like my feet, like they reach for something. Like it does, you know, each body is going to be different, but to be with that, find it, and then have it be a little bit more of a consistent practice. It's sort of like, you know, we go to the dentist and we get our, whatever it is, like maintenance, like deep mm-hmm. teeth cleaning. And then we still brush our teeth every day. I feel mm-hmm. like it's sort of the same. It's like, okay, well, at the beginning, we sort of have to go in and really get in there. And then afterwards, it's a lot easier to touch it and feel it with something as simple as, you know, a 5-minute song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that. I like that analogy.
Yeah. But always, I think the theme of today is essentially, you know, can we pull away from big picture, right or wrong, and get granular into what works for me mm-hmm. and what's going to serve and support what I'm in devotion to. Mm-hmm. And then also the other big theme is like, okay, can we pull away from the thoughts of why or the thoughts of how, or, you know, and actually just be with what is, which is, oh, I have such a deep desire. And not just like, okay, great, I have that desire, and now let me hop over back into a thought or a concept or an action that may solve it. But instead just be with that so clearly that you drop it into embodied expression. Mm-hmm. Because then you're actually in the deepest expression of it, as opposed to just knowing that there's a feeling there, but you're not fully touching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Like we covered a few important pieces here.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. How does that all feel? Are there any other clarifications or anything on the practices, or do you feel complete and equipped with some things to play with?
I feel clear. No, I feel good about I feel good about implementing this and sitting with this. And yeah, I feel clear for now.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let me know how it goes.
If this episode juiced you up, turned you on, and got you interested in private coaching with me, head on over to nadiamanla.com. The Work With Me page outlines everything, the time containers, the price points, who I work with, and so on and so forth. And if you still have questions after that, you can email us at info@nadiamanla.com to inquire about applications or anything else that was not answered on the page. And then when I receive your application, if I feel like we're a fit, we always hop on an exploration call before we commit to anything. And this to me is like going on a date, going on a coaching date. And we do that in order to really confirm that this is a relationship we both want to enter into for a period of time. We get clear on what it is that I can support you with, whether I am the best person to support you, and how we will do so. So if this is you, I can't wait to get your application and hop on the phone with you soon.
I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram @NadiaMunla.